As you will no doubt recall, in the previous installment, we had related how Yaakov Karpel had saved the young boy David from forced conversion, and in doing so, he had become totally indebted and impoverished to the extent that he had to sell his house and all his possessions. Nevertheless, Yaakov Karpel, who will soon see how he fits in to the story with Tver Aleya, and Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, the sister and brother-in-law of Rabbi Baruch, the father of the Alter Rebbe, and the connection to the Baal Shem Tov, they refused to tell anyone about the great mitzvah they had performed and how this put them into debt. And unfortunately, Yaakov Karpel became seriously ill and was given the additional name of Chaim, and Yaakov Karpel and his wife sunk even deeper into debt. You'll also recall that Yaakov Karpel had not had any children up to this point. Although all these misfortunes were befalling them, still the couple told no one what had happened, not even to his teacher, the Persh Leib, who was so dear to Yaakov Karpel, as he had taken him out of the categorization of an ignoramus and made him into a shtickel Talmud Chochem, somewhat of a Torah scholar, and the two were very close. Not even to Reb Hesh Leib did Yaakov Karpel tell of his dire predicament. Hesh Leib carried on with his teaching and studying at Zalman's Beis HaMedrash, as already related that he would teach the simple people starting from Olive Beis like him a Lamed, and with many of them making very, very good progress over a period of 5 years. Many times, visitors to the town would come to this Beis HaMedrash, and it was noticed that these visitors were particularly friendly towards Hesh Leib, but nobody suspected that there was anything unusual in their behavior, nor that it had any special significance. These particular visitors behaved in the same way as Hesh Leib, and they too refused any invitations to partake of a meal at someone else's table. They would not accept help of any kind from anyone, and they, like Hesh Leib, spent all their time with the uneducated Jews. It did not occur to anyone in Share that these visitors, together with Hesh Leib, belonged to the Tzadikim Nestorim, the mystics, the wandering mystics, who were followers first of Rav Odom Baal Shem Tov, of Rav Odom Baal Shem of Ropshitz, and later of Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, the Heilige Baal Shem. In other words, here were the first men who went about spreading Hasidus. All of these visitors were traveling about on special missions assigned to them from headquarters. They were all supported from a general fund which was specially kept for this purpose, so that these picked Jews, these Jews who were selected, the Tzadikim Nestorim, the hidden Tzadikim, could travel about without having to turn to anyone for financial help while they were carrying out their assigned tasks, each one of them having his specific mission. Share was a center where these mystics carried out certain of their activities. Though in this particular instance, it was very obvious what was being achieved, it did not occur to anyone that it was in fact Hasidus that was being practiced here. Hasidism, the new way of life and teaching, which was spreading throughout the entire Jewish world. When Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov was not more than 18 years old, he was already a respected member of the mystics under the leadership of Rabbi Odom Baal Shem. Rabbi Yisroel, the future founder and leader of the Hasidic world, was already at that time treading out a new path, or bringing something new to the old one. He had new ideas that he felt the mystics should carry out. He told a fellow mystic all about these ideas of his whenever they occurred to him. This was his good friend Mordechai, with whom he would share his thoughts. To carry out Rabbi Yisroel's ideas and plans, Rabbi Odom Baal Shem appointed Mordechai, together with another mystic named Kahos, and a third one whom they were to invite to join them. All these suggestions were later put before the meetings of the mystics. The two mystics, meaning Mordechai and Kahos, Rabbi Mordechai and Rabbi Kahos, asked Rabbi Yisroel to be the third partner in working out the planning of the duties of the mystics. One of the suggestions put forward by the Baal Shem Tov was that the mystics should be given special assignments and sent to particular places. For instance, there were so many small townlets and villages where there was no one to care for Jewish education. A mystic should be sent to each such place to act as a teacher for young and old. As this scheme would obviously entail new expenses, Rabbi Yisroel Baal Shem Tov chose two mystics to be responsible for raising this money. One was Aaron David, a joiner from Broad. A joiner is somebody who put together metal parts, see, which smelt them together. And the other was Shlomo Chaim, a tailor from Lemberg. These two conducted this fundraising with great success. It was at this time that Rabbi Kahos, the friend of Rabbi Yisroel Baal Shem Tov, came to Sha'arei. He immediately went to Herr Schleib and asked him about Yaakov Kerpel. Rabbi Yisroel Baal Shem Tov sent me here, he said. He told me the following. In Sha'arei, you will find a Jew called Yaakov Kerpel, quite uneducated, but yet so good-hearted and of such a wonderful character that it has made an impression in the heavens above. He and his wife have in their simple and unassuming way performed a great mitzvah, but in so doing they have involved themselves deeply in debt. Poverty and sickness put to the test their loyalty to God, but they withstood the trials. It is therefore decreed in heaven that what Yaakov Kerpel and his wife have yearned for years, shall now be granted them. They are going to be blessed with their fondest wish, with a son, and also with riches. Herr Schleib was astounded. He now heard for the first time that Yaakov Kerpel and his wife had nobly performed a great mitzvah. But although he was Yaakov's teacher, he knew nothing about it. So great was Midas Hatznius, the modest and unassuming manner in which Yaakov Kerpel and his wife performed this wonderful mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, of ransoming the captives of Gershon Yitzchok and his wife from the debt, and most importantly of saving young David from the clutches of the evil anti-Semitic priest who sought to convert him forcefully. Rabbi Kahos had brought a nice little sum of money for Yaakov Kerpel so that he could pay his debts and get back onto his feet. I'm pretty sure that Yaakov Kerpel is not the one who will accept any help in any form. I have to find some way of getting this money to him so that he will accept it. I have therefore come to you for advice in the matter, for you know him so much better than I, said Rabbi Kahos. Rabbi Herr Schleib immediately came up with an idea. He suggested that they go to Yaakov Kerpel and tell him that Rabbi Kahos had to make a long journey and was afraid of taking so much money with him. On Herr Schlaib's advice and recommendation, he wished to leave it with Yankov Karpel, who could freely use it until Reb Kohos eventually returned to claim it. Yankov Karpel, on his part, was rather reluctant to accept the money, even on these conditions. It was something of a responsibility to look after so much money belonging to another, and moreover, to use it for his own needs as a loan. But at last, they prevailed upon him to take the money. When Reb Kohos went away, leaving the money with Yankov Karpel, Yankov Karpel was able to use it for paying off all his urgent debts, especially those which he owed for goods. For having paid up, he could now buy new goods and begin to travel again to the villages as he had done heretofore. Yankov Karpel quickly found he was doing well and felt that at last his luck had turned for the better. As soon as he made some profit, he put aside a certain amount towards repaying the money he had received from Rabbi Kohos, and at the same time he renewed his old practice of giving one-tenth of his earnings to tzedakah, to charity. One day, Tzipa Brocha told her husband the astonishing news that she was expecting to become a mother, that she was now pregnant. As she was already 57 and Yankov Karpel was 63, he was naturally totally astounded, taken aback, surprised, and absolutely delighted. They waited anxiously for the birth of a child, and to their joy it was a boy, whom they named Yosef Yitzchok, after Tzipa Brocha's father. The boy showed every sign of developing into a strong and healthy child. And this was the Yosef Yitzchok, who later became Tverleya's husband, the uncle of Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad. He came to the world at the blessing of the Baal Shem Tov. And all this, if you will recall, was part of the story, part of the recollection which Yosef Yitzchok had shared with his Kala when they were discussing their Gichus, the families where they had come from, and Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok revealed to Tverleya that he was born with the bracha of the holy Baal Shem Tov. After Reb Herr Schlaib had stayed in Shari for several years, sent there as a member of the mystics to teach the uneducated Jews of that little town, he received orders that he must now leave Shari. His mission there had been fulfilled. He had taught the Jews much, giving them Torah knowledge and teaching them how to attain a higher spiritual and moral level in their daily lives. Some of his pupils had done absolute wonders in their remarkable progress in Limud HaTorah, in their knowledge of Torah. Now that Herr Schlaib had to leave Shari, he went to his first and most accomplished pupil, Yankov Karpel, now wealthy again due to the money left to him in trust by the mystic Reb Kohos, the follower of the Baal Shem Tov. Reb Herr Schlaib revealed to Yankov Karpel the secret of the mystics, and that he himself was one of them. For the first time, he told Yankov Karpel all about the Baal Shem Tov and about the former Baal Shem, Rab Odom, and so on, who prepared the way for him and for the new teaching of Hasidus. Yankov Karpel now also learned that the money had come from the funds of the mystics, and that Yankov Karpel had been given this money on the orders of Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, the holy Baal Shem himself. Yankov Karpel was happy to be in the position now of repaying the money that had been given him. And in addition to the money he owed, he gave another equal amount of Herr Schlaib to pay into the fund of the mystics as a donation. But this did not satisfy Yankov Kerpel. He himself wanted to meet the mystics and make their acquaintance. He therefore insisted that Rabbi Hirschleib allow him to accompany him on his return journey, to which Rabbi Hirschleib agreed. Yankov Kerpel went away for several months, during which time he accompanied Reb Hirsch on his wanderings, spending a good deal of time with other tzaddikim nistorim, with other mystics. Yankov Kerpel had many stories to tell his wife about them when he got home, but most of all, he told her about the great and holy Rabbi Yisroel Baal Shem Tov. Yosef Yitzchok, Yankov Kerpel's gifted son, was a real joy and blessing to his ever-grateful parents. When he was only 3 years old, he could already read and say his prayers. At 5 years of age, he knew Tanakh and some Mishnayos. Yankov Kerpel then got him a teacher, one of the frequent visitors to Shaarei, a mystic undoubtedly. Meanwhile, David, Gershon Yitzchok's son, whom he had saved from conversion, had grown up, and Yankov Kerpel decided he ought to get married. So he introduced him to his niece, his sixth brother's daughter, who he had taken care of throughout his lifetime, and the young people liked each other and were happily married. As to his own son, Yosef Yitzchok, Yankov Kerpel sent him later to Minsk to study at the famous yeshiva there. This was after he had already been learning for 6 years under the teacher his father had first obtained for him. When Yosef Yitzchok entered the Minsk yeshiva, it was immediately recognized by all that here was a lad who had wonderful mental powers, and he was very soon given the name the Eloi of Shaarei, the genius of Shaarei. His father, meanwhile, was getting to be an old man, and he did not want to continue in business anymore, and so Yankov Kerpel divided his business amongst his nephews and nieces, the children of his sister and brother. He and his wife then betook themselves to Minsk. They moved there so they could be near their dear and only son Yosef Yitzchok, whose fame had by now already attained great heights. Yankov Kerpel had always played host to the many strangers who came to Shaarei. Many of them were mystics, and so the young Yosef Yitzchok learned from his earliest days to absorb the spirit of Hasidus, its teachings, and its new way of life. Now that Yankov Kerpel had retired from business and had come to Minsk, he had plenty of time for himself. He therefore again availed himself of a trip to the Baal Shem Tov, who was now living in Tlust. He wanted his advice on what to do with his fortune. The Baal Shem Tov told him that he should leave only 1/10 of his fortune to his son Yosef Yitzchok, and the remaining 9/10 should be given by him to charity for stock. Yankov Kerpel did not wait until his death, but immediately set about to carry out the advice of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. The first on Yankov Kerpel's list were the needs of the mystics. His house in Minsk became the meeting ground for all the Mekubolim, all the Tzaddikim Nestorim, all the hidden mystics who came to the town. At this time, the Baal Shem Tov himself began to take an interest in Yankov Kerpel's brilliant son, Yosef Yitzchok. He arranged a course of study for him and sent it in a sealed letter with Yankov Kerpel to the mystic Rav Moshe Nissen of Minsk, whom he virtually appointed as teacher and guide to the young Eloi, the young genius. Rav Moshe Nissen was at this time the chief of the mystics in Minsk. The course of study was to cover a period of 6 years. The Baal Shem Tov also recommended that Yosef Yitzchok should study for 2 years at the yeshiva in Smagon and should become the companion of a certain Nochem Meir, a student there, who was a son of one of the mystics. Yosef Yitzchok followed all that the Baal Shem Tov had directed him to do. He studied for 2 years at the Smagon yeshiva and became the companion of Nochem Meir, with whom he studied in secret all that the Baal Shem Tov had arranged in his course of study. When Yitzchok returned home to Minsk, he had a diploma from the yeshiva in the name of Mireinu Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, the Goen, the genius of Shari. After his father's death, his mother, Tzipa Broche, handed over a sizable sum of money to one of the mystics to give to her son as his part of the inheritance left by his father. Tzipa Broche said the money was to be a source of investment, principle which was not to be touched, from which Yosef Yitzchok could support himself. But on no account was he to do any business. He was to devote himself entirely to Limud HaTorah, to Torah study. A short time later, his mother too departed this life. Meanwhile, word was brought to Yosef Yitzchok by his teacher and guide, Rav Moshe Nissen, that the Baal Shem Tov wished him, Yosef Yitzchok, to go to Vitebsk, where he would find his predestined life's partner, an orphan of distinguished lineage. Yosef Yitzchok followed the Baal Shem Tov's instructions, and when he reached Vitebsk, he was received with honor, for his name had gone before him. He was invited to deliver a pilpul, and the young genius made a deep impression upon his audience. His rare qualities and exceptional brilliance were immediately apparent for all. Here was a man of breadth of learning and deep comprehension. Tverleya's uncle Kaddish had been there to listen to the distinguished visitor's pilpul, and now was so enraptured with him that he immediately thought of how wonderful it would be if he would become the husband of his niece, Tverleya. But he immediately told himself that he could not dare suggest such a match to so exceptional and superior a young man. For fine as his niece was, she was, after all, but a poor orphan girl. When Tverleya's uncle learned that Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok was turning down all the young ladies suggested to him, he thought he could lose nothing by trying his own luck. In this he was especially encouraged by his wife. Great was their surprise and delight in their unbelievable good fortune when Yosef Yitzchok agreed to the match with their niece, Tverleya. What later transpired between the young betrothed couple, they never knew. Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok disclosed to his bride that he was a follower of the Baal Shem Tov, and made a pact with her, as related earlier, that they, in previous installments, that they would always follow the teachings of Hasidim, even though at that time it was still necessary to do this in secret. It was also a secret from everyone but Tverleya that he made trips to the holy Baal Shem Tov. Very soon, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok settled in Vitebsk as a Rosh Yeshiva, as a dean in the Torah Academy, living happily with his wife, and no one guessed that he, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, and his wife Tverleya were secret Hasidim. And so, Hasidism permeated the family of the future founder of Chabad, even before the father of Chabad, meaning even before Rabbarch, the father of the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad, had decided as a lad upon which path he was to tread in his service of the Creator.